So I thank everyone who's joining in person and online for what's going to be a little bit of an experiment tonight towards restarting the Monday or Tuesday night Halacha Chabura. I thought we'd try something a little bit different for 1 week, and that is, rather than learning a Sugya in Shulchan Aruch, to try a different genre, to spend tonight on a journey through Lamdas. A Lamdasha journey in the Parsha. In the past, we've learned Sefer HaChinuch, written by Rishon, not clear who, some Talmud of the Ramban, who wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is famous for not only talking about the Halacha, but talking about the Machshava as well. But Sefer HaChinuch is usually published together with the Minchas Chinuch, which is a fascinating Sefer written by an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, Yosef Babad, I believe was his name. Incredible Baki and an incredible Charef. I think he was a Rav of Tarnopol, which apparently was a very small community. I think it's usually assumed that he didn't have the sort of teaching opportunities. He was overqualified for his job. He didn't really have the audience in town to be able to share even a fraction of the learning that he had. And so he decided to invest it, and he took care of the people in town. He invested his learning into a sefer, and he was looking for a chance to a platform or a frame that would allow him to write on Kol HaTorah Kula. Because, as becomes clear from the sefer, he had the breadth and depth to discuss Kol HaTorah Kula magnificently. And so he wrote what's officially a Sefer, HaChinuch is a Sefer HaMitzvah, so it takes you through every single mitzvah, every single topic is there. So he wrote a Minchas Chinuch that would accompany the Sefer HaChinuch, so that gives an opportunity to discuss every single sugi and jas. Anything he wants to talk about, no. There's one of the Targum mitzvahs is going to be the base, the address to talk about. As a matter of fact, he's famous for saying that the more common mitzvahs, Ein Darki Laharech, b'chiburim, it's not my style to spend a lot of time on my sefer on things I already discussed thoroughly in the postgame. If this isn't Aruch Chaim Yerodea, Yoni Mi, big svarim. Incredible Talmud Chacham, an extraordinarily creative thinker. So I wanted to take, and his mind jumps from topic to topic, so the mitzvah of Mila appears in this week's Parsha. It's for the Sefer HaChinuch, who counts mitzvahs in the order of appearance in the Torah. So the mitzvah of Mila is mitzvah number two, because Puravu is in Bereishis, and then Mila is in Lech Lecha. And he opens by telling us, the Sefer HaChinuch opens by telling us, the mitzvah of Mila appears here and appears again in probably the beginning of Parsha Shemini. A serious mitzvah. A mitzvah to remove the arla, biyom hashmini, or later. And talks about it. It's one of the rare mitzvahs. It's one of the rare mitzvahs that carries with it the unusual severity of an onesh karis. Only two mitzvahs, Pesach and Mila. Only there are over 30 isurim, which carry with them that severe penalty of karis. But only two mitzvahs asay. Pesach and Mila, they happen to be interconnected thematically, not only because you have to have had a bris mila in order to eat Karm Pesach, but also because obviously both of those mitzvahs are very central to our identity as Jews. Karm Pesach is a celebration of the national birthday of Klal Yisrael, and Mila is an individual sense of connection to the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. That's part of the reason. One of the reasons why Mila is a rare mitzvah in that it carries with it two different birkos hamitzvahs. The mohel says the al hamila, and the father says lahachniso b'viso shavra avinu. And both of those are birkos hamitzvahs. Both of those are sherek yisham sosav etzivam. So the Beis Yosef discusses why you have one mitzvah with two brachas. And one of the approaches is that there are sort of two layers to the mitzvah of Mila. The technical mitzvah of Mila, and then there's sort of and that's Al HaMila recited by the Mo'el. Then there's the broader Hachnasa LeBris. And that may refer to different things. One of the things that may refer to is becoming a part of Klal Yisrael. This is a mitzvah that connects us to Klal Yisrael. That's why it's a mitzvah that's not only for Jewish babies, but also for Geirim, because once again, the Bris Milah is such a central aspect of our of a man's citizenship in Klal Yisrael, that in order to become a member of Klal Yisrael, you need the mitzvah of Milah. And that, again, may explain also why Milah and Pesach are the two mitzvahs that carry with them the ownership of Karis. So I want to actually take a look deep into the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch goes on for 3 pages about the mitzvah, and the Minchas Chinuch goes on for around 10 pages. He has so much to say. Both because Milah is so rich, and also because there are certain topics and certain ways of thinking that, as he will see in a couple of moments, ideas that will recur from time to time, in different mitzvahs, in different contexts. So in the opening mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Peruvu, the mitzvah of Milah, a lot of concepts that he's presenting for the first time, he tells you when it could be coming across this later. These will be tools for thinking. So I'd love to start, and let's bring it up on the screen for those who are zooming. I'd love to start from on page Beis, near the end of the first column, in Os Yud Ches. Okay. Howie, Ari, you can see that?
Yep.
Fantastic. Okay.
Yep.
So the derech of the Minchas Chinuch often is to sort of take particular mitzvahs and see how they fit into larger categories. So let's take a little bit of a journey of thought, a journey of lamdas, a journey of pilpul, with the Minchas Chinuch. We're going to pick up the Dibar Maschil Ach. Near the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, there's a blot or two. Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavches, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes, that are chock full of all sorts of global concepts about mitzvahs. And one of the major concepts that appear at the end of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah is the question of mitzvahs trichas kavanah. I do a mitzvah, if I fulfill, when I perform a mitzvah, so the Amoraim, the Rishonim, who hold that mitzvahs trichas kavanah, that mitzvahs require intent, they hold that that every behavioral mitzvah, every mitzvah ma'asis, every chovas ha'ivarim, whenever there's a physical act of mitzvah, it always has a mental part as well. It's not enough to blow shofar. I have to intend that I'm doing Ratzon Hashem by hearing the shofar. I don't necessarily have to think about all the themes and ideas behind shofar, but mitzvah trichas kavana means that it's not enough to listen to the shofar. I need to intend thereby to do mitzvah. I have to have kavanah l'shei mitzvah. So, for instance, the Gemara talks there at the end of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, tokei l'shir. I'm listening to a shofar for its musical context. Let's say, there's a fall concert in the park, and there's a display in the park of all sorts of ethnic musical instruments from around the world. It's a nice September afternoon. I go to the park, and I'm listening to instruments from Africa, I'm listening to instruments from South America, and they sound blowing a shofar. I might not even know that's Rosh Hashanah, but it's very pretty. And the fellow is blowing tkiya, tshvarim, tshkuya, tkiya. And I listen. And I did the act of listening to the shofar. Maybe even did the act of blowing the shofar. But my intent was just musical. My intent was not religious. Am I yotzei or not? Tokei or lishir? So the Gemara says that depends on whether you hold mitzvah trichas kavana or mitzvah ain't trichas kavana. Mitzvah trichas kavana, then you're not yotzei. Mitzvah ain't trichas because you didn't have kavana latzeis. But mitzvahs ain't trichas kavana, and then all you need is just the physical act. So he says that the Shagas Aryeh, welcome in. The Shagas Aryeh, in his Sefer Turei Evan on Maseches Rosh Hashanah and several other Sfarim, ach, and here we go, pick up right here. He quotes the Ladasa Turei Evan Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes. The Shagas Aryeh comes up with the following chiddush. He says this idea of mitzvah trichas kavanah, which is very broad application, but even if you hold mitzvah trichas kavanah, davka b'matzah v'shofar, that's a mitzvah like matzah and shofar, where after stama l'shma kai, usually you assume a religious person who's blowing shofar, a religious person who's as eating matzah. So you could have made the argument that stam lishma, and he probably intends to do it l'shem mitzvah. You know there's a mitzvah of matzah, you know tonight is Pesach. That would be an argument in favor of ein tzrichas kavana. You don't have to have any direct intent. But shofar zeh u'matzah zu einam miyuchadim davka l'mitzvah. Even you assume he's a religious Jew, observant Jew, probably wants to be yotzei mitzvah of shofar, probably wants to be yotzei mitzvah of matzah. Okay, but who says it needs to be this shofar? Who says it needs to be this matzah? In other words, these aren't unique; they're replicable. They're not miyuchadim davka lemitzvah. The efshilat says b'shofar acher or matzah acheres. I could hear the shofar now if I didn't have kavan l'shem mitzvah. Maybe that was just for practice, just to get into the mood, or just because he's an amazing Baal Tokeya. I love listening. No religious content. But I know there's a mitzvah of shofar. Yeah, I'll be yosei later. This matzah was just to see how it came out. We had gone baking. I want to see how it came out. And later on, I'll have a shame mitzvah. So whenever it's the sort of thing, there's always another shofar, there's always another matzah, maybe that's why mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Plus, there's another aspect to the matzah and the shofar. Od lo nizbatel ha-mitzvah, avdeni yotzei ata, od yochol lotzeis. Doing it once, eating matzah, I have room in my belly for more than one piece of matzah. So if I ate matzah once and for some reason I wasn't yotzei, I could always do it again. So there's nothing unique about this shofar or this matzah, and it's a sort of act that's replicable, that's repeatable. See, here he says, what he's saying it's up for, obviously, is our mitzvah. The Shagat Shai says, have a mila. How about Mila? The Shakasari says, Kadshim or Mila, a carbon or bris Mila, very different mitzvahs, but they share this. Mitzvah zu miyuchedes begufo. The carbon is a specific animal that I'm meant to bring as a carbon. Or bris Mila, this person requires a Mila. There's no other item that I can use, no other person instead of this baby that I can use for the meal on this baby. This is the only one, and I can't do it twice. I can't do it. If the arla was removed in a way that was not a mitzvah mila, so obviously I cannot remove the arla again. So then maybe we should say eina tzricha kavana. So that's the idea of the Turi Evan. That's fascinating in its own right. Shakasari, maybe it already gets us thinking conceptually about how the mitzvah of Mila differs from many other mitzvahs. It needs to be this baby, and it can only be done once. It cannot be repeated. Either you're Yotzei or you're not Yotzei, and the Shakasari raises that, those uniquenesses of the quality of the act of Mila as basis for maybe it's an exception to the rule again. Shakasari's point was maybe it's an exception to the general rule of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. And once again, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, and machlokas Rambam had a paskin, whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or in tzrichas kavana. That's an open question. Shulchan Aruch indicates that we should be machmer by daraisas. But that's a machlokas. But again, we are machmer at least by daraisas, mitzvah tzrichas kavana. But Shakasari said, yeah, that's for shofar and lulav, but not for bris mila. Yeah, question.
Mila, there's two people involved. There's the father and the baby. The baby obviously can't have kavana, at least at 8 days old. But then when he's older, if the father is not around, then it's a mitzvah on himself. So and maybe at that point, it sort of shifts. It's sort of a weird mitzvah in and of itself because there's two people involved. Then it shifts from one person to another, and that clearly would impact whose kavana is involved. As well.
Yeah, so Glenn, you're making a very good point, which is sort of a whole other field. There's so much to encompass in Mila, which is why we're up to OCU tests here, and he's nowhere near done. We're going to be surgically jumping in. But you are raising, one of the fascinating pieces that unfortunately we're not going to get to tonight is the question of who's the mitzvah on, who upon whom does the mitzvah devolve? Who's the mitzvah in the mitzvah? The Gemara says in Kiddushin that it begins as a mitzvah on the father, and if the father doesn't fulfill his mitzvah to take care of the mila of his baby son, then for the rest of the child's pre-bar mitzvah years, it moves to Beis Din, meaning Klal Yisrael as a whole is chayiv in the meal if the father isn't stepping up, and the Beis Din is a representative of Klal Yisrael. And then when the Nisgadel, if a Jewish boy reaches bar mitzvah, doesn't have a bris milah, so it's his mitzvah. So Minchas Chinuch, actually earlier, one of his first discussions in mitzvah Beis, is that how does that work? So does that mean now it's only the son's mitzvah, and now it's no longer anyone else's mitzvah when it becomes bar mitzvah? The total shift? Or it's sort of that now there are two tracks. That's interesting. So you are making a good point, especially if you understand that the mitzvah totally switches over from father to son. So then maybe that is definitely a uniqueness of the mitzvah of Mila. And by the way, the fact that there are two tracks in the mitzvah of Mila is also, here's another, sort of just throwing out something to think about. We mentioned before there's karis on Mila, so there's a big discussion around Bam Raiv and others. What does that karis look like exactly? Who gets karis? So it's broadly assumed, we generally assume that the karis is not for the father, it's only the son. And of course, to figure out, what does that mean? The son is chayv karis the moment you turn bar mitzvah, you haven't taken care of the bris mila, the next day? Or if he lives his entire life without Mila, but then of course he's passing away, so when does the karis kick in? So that's a fascinating question that flows from that point you're making. It is a unique mitzvah in that way also. Yeah, so that could also play in. Yeah?
How many mitzvahs are states have an onish to not do them?
Right. Oh, that's how we got started.
If the mitzvahs are states, so This one's a weird aspect,
because
there actually is an
owner.
Yeah.
However, how you want to explain the owner. So
therefore, Rabbi, we can't hear the questions.
It's
could you repeat the questions from
Kavana? Because it's a separate aspect to it. It's not just a regular mitzvah
set. Yeah. Eric's pointing out that the mitzvah of Mila is unique. We got started. We mentioned that there's karis only for Mila and for Karban Pesach. The vast majority of the Chiyuve Kares are for Mitzvahs Lo Sase. Onshim that the Halacha discusses are generally associated more with the Isurim. And Karis in particular is almost exclusively for Isurim. So we said before, Mila and Pesach, maybe what makes them unique is the Chumash says that there's karis, but what does that point to? So before we're talking from a philosophical standpoint, from a machshava standpoint, it is true that halachically speaking, karis, the halacha recognizes that karis or misas based in are markers that what you're dealing with is a davar chamor. Even in the end of Maseches Yom, we talk about what dal chiluke kapara. Averis chamuros require more steps for kapar than averis kalos. What makes something chamura? Typically, misas bezin or karis. Karis is a marker that you're dealing with something more chamur. So before we were saying, from a machshava standpoint, what makes Mila and Pesach particularly chamur, perhaps, is that they have to do with the citizenship in Klal Yisrael. But Eric, you're pointing to the fact that it sounds as though there's an isser, and that actually vaults us into where the Minchas Chinuch is going to take us next. Because from this discussion about mitzvahs, trichas, kavana, so he says, you know, the Shakas Arya thinks mitzvahs, trichas, kavana, but it doesn't apply to bris mila. It's a chiddush of the Shakas Arya. Again, it's fascinating. It has to do with the sort of the uniqueness of mila in a technical sense. It's only, here's the baby. And you can, it's an activity that cannot be repeated. And as Glenn pointed out, it's also these two tracks sort of make it unique, and maybe that discontinuity has to do with it. But on the other hand, there are, not everyone has to agree with the Shakas Arya. So it says at the very end of paragraph Yitches, L'hasov Mila Tzricha Kavana, if you dispute the Shakas Arya's Chiddush in a Sefer Tor Yevan, you say, no, Mila does require Kavana, or Miskaven Befeir Shalom, let's say you, why one would do this is beyond me, but hypothetically, a fellow does bris mila, says, I'm not trying to do the mitzvah. He's only doing it for medical reasons. Kavana Shalom, let's say. So then, Efshur de Tzarech Ona Tavaz Dan Bris. So you may say that that wasn't a valid mila. And you're going to have to tough as dumbbells. So that, he first gets involved. I want to take speak briefly about the next paragraph outside, then jump to Oschav Beis. He's trying to wrap his mind around this, and he says this whole kavana business, and it gets him from kavana into the nature of the mitzvah meal. It's going to bring us back to what Eric was saying. Is there an assay here? Is there a los assay? He wants to know the following question. So let's say I did a bris milah on Yom Tov. I'm going to streamline what he says a little bit. Did a bris milah on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do a bris milah on Yom Tov. Shlo bizmana. Milah bizmana is docha Shabbos Yom Tov. But a milah shlo bizmana, if for whatever reason you didn't do the milah on day 8, whether for legitimate reasons, like medical reasons, or they were just lazy, whatever it is, for any reason the bris milah is being done after day 8, it's not docha Shabbos and it's not docha Yom Tov either. That's explicit Mishnayos in the 19th paragraph of Shabbos. And even though milah is an asay, and doing malacha and yom tov is a los asay, asay doch a los asay, but it still doesn't kick in. But he wants to know asay doch a los asay, asay doch a los asay. To the extent that asay doch a los asay applies, and he has a revo who says it's somewhat, at least you wouldn't get malchus. So he wants to know. Let's say I did milah. The Riva would hold that if you did Mila on Yom Tov, say still knocks out the Los Asay to the extent that you don't get Malkus. How about if you did the Mila on Yom Tov Shlo B'Kavana? Got that? Did the Mila on Yom Tov? Which I'm not allowed to do. Mila Shlo B'Zman on Yom Tov, not allowed to do that. But I should maybe I should still say, I said the Chalos Asay, have I did the Bris Mila Shlo B'Kavana? So what's the question? Let's think about that. Well, if you dispense with the Shagasari, you say, no, the mitzvah tzrich is gone even by milah. So it wasn't mekayim the mitzvah. So how could I say, I say the chalosa say, if I wasn't mekayim the mitzvah? But then he says, you know, that's what you would have assumed offhand. On the other hand, take a look at the last two lines of this column. O Dilma, lo dummy, lo shofar v'lulav. Maybe here, there it's different. Shofar and lulav shlo b'kavan alone eskayim ha'asei klal. You didn't accomplish anything. V'tzarech lasos od hapam. If I hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana and I go to hear a music festival and I hear the shofar, but no kavan l'shem mitzvah, so what I get? Zero. I'm going to have to repeat shofar again. I've accomplished nothing. Okay? But by milah, here's where it gets interesting. Milah, and here's another way in which the fact that milah is not replicable plays out. I am not going to do the milah again. Avakan nihid lokim hu mitzvah. You'll say, look, I'm not going to get schar for the mitzvah if I didn't have kavana. But on the other hand, mikol makom, hamitzvah nases me'eleha. The mitzvah happened. The mitzvah was done. Nechtecha arlaso. This child has now been relieved of his arla. So I didn't have kavana. I don't get schar for the mitzvah. But on the other hand, the deed is done. The result is accomplished. Sounds like he's trying to think about Gavra Hefta, right? He's trying to think about, is it just the act is a mitzvah? Or even if I didn't do a mitzvah again, but through the Maisa Mila, maybe it was done. It was done. See, he's not so happy with that. Tzara Rishon Nira, and that'll take question a second. After Nechtecha, lo kiyam a mitzvah. Says it may have been removed. I didn't get any mitzvah. I can say I say doch halos. It's not that I did the mitzvah. It's just ein lo b'mela kaimo de mayasa. I didn't do the mitzvah. Look, if I blew shofar once and then if I blew shofar in a manner that I wasn't yotze and the shofar breaks, so now I can't be the kind of mitzvah anymore. So here, once you did the milah once incorrectly, it's physically impossible to repeat. But it doesn't mean I've done a mitzvah. But that thinking gets you wondering about the following. You move down to page Chav Beis. To Os Chav Beis. He says, so let's think about that situation a little bit. So now there's no Mila, but there's no mitzvah. No Mila, but there's no Arla, but there's no mitzvah. Okay, so there's no Arla. I missed my chance to do it as a mitzvah. If we don't hold the Shachar Sari, I did the Milah Shal B'Kavana, I wasn't Yotze. And the Minchas Chinuch thinks, it wouldn't even say, there's no mitzvah whatsoever, it wouldn't save you from Malkus. I did the Milah Shal B'Kavana, I wasn't Yotze. Now what? Now what? So we know this idea of Hatafas Dambris, and whether it's a baby or a ger who lacks an Orla, so there's a requirement, the discussion in the Sugya and Shabbos, but when it applies, but he points out the Rambam and some others seem to think that's only Drabbanan. So let's think about that. All these threads that we've been talking about are now going to come together in this final discussion. So let's say you have a situation, a Hatavas Dambris situation. Nira Aniyas Daiti, take a look at Os Chav Beis, near the end of the second column. He says, I would think the following. Hadakasva HaTorah de Mitzvah L'mul HaOrla. The Torah writes that it's a mitzvah to remove the Orla, the mitzvah of Mila. Dafka B'yesh Lo Orla. That's if you have an Orla, so then the mitzvah to remove it. Aval Be'ein Lo Orla Eino Mitzvah. If there is no Orla, then there's no mitzvah. What does he mean? Hatafas Dambris says, Hatafas Dambris, yes, but I already wrote earlier, Lahar B'shitos Eino El Midrabanan. So, Midrabanan, they require you to do something. But in HaTorah, if there's no Arla, whether it's a child born without an Arla, or the Arla was removed improperly, you have a ger, a bala, his gayer, and he already had a surgical, it happens at Keseder, he had the Arla removed by a surgery done by a Nachri, and he was a baby, there's no mitzvah of Mila there. So, many hold that we need for Tavis Tempris, it's only Midrabanan. So what does that mean in HaTorah? There's no mitzvah. So he says, what emerges is something fascinating. Mikamakam b'yesh lo arla. Here, haTorah lo amra lamul el haarla. Torah says, if there's an arla, you remove it. Shlo yehi arl. A mitzvah not to be an arl. Im eino arl, but if he's no longer an arl, anyhow, no lad mal. A baby was born without a mila. O nechtach arla safidei absulim. He had a circumcision done by a nachri. O nimo tovch zmano. O balai, they did a bris at night. They did a bris during the first week. Ein ha mitzvah chala alav ki ein lo arla. In a case where there is no arla, maybe there just is no mitzvah whatsoever. It says, when you have an arla, there's a mitzvah to do it the right way. There are rules for how to do it, but there's no arla, there's no mitzvah. He says, fascinating. This is where he comes sort of like minchas chinuch type thinking. He says, think about tzitzis. Who would have ever put together arla with tzitzis? Right? If you have a four-cornered garment, I'll be dina haTorah. If I have a four-cornered garment, so then I have a mitzvah. If I don't have, and then there are specific rules for how you make the tzitzis. But if my garment doesn't have four corners, so then I have no mitzvah at all. And I don't even have a chiyuv to get a beged arba kanfos. Right? We know the Gemara says in Menachos that there was an amor of katena who rounded off his tzitzis like this, so we know mitzvah mila, no mitzvah tzitzis, and the Malach told him, not a good idea, when there's anger in Shamayim, you're going to be on the short end of the stick. Okay, but technically speaking, I'm not mechuyev to make sure I have a four-cornered garment. Many Gisrael is to seek, even though I'm not mechuyev to wear a four-cornered garment, if I'm wearing a four-cornered garment, I have to put on tzitzis, if I don't have a four-cornered garment, I'm garnished. But Minig Yisrael is, we seek out opportunities to do mitzvahs. We seek out opportunities, that's chibuv mitzvah. He goes on to give another example. He says, bir chametz. There's a mitzvah of bir chametz. So let's say everyone in the house is gluten sensitive. Everyone in the house is celiac. We don't have any chametz in the house. There is no chametz in our house. Are you mechuyev to go out and buy some chametz 2 days before Pesach so you could burn it on our Pesach? Probably not. He gets that further in Parshas Bo. Probably not. If you have chametz, it's a mitzvah to destroy it. You don't have any chametz. There's no requirement. I'll give you another example. There's a mitzvah of paying your workers on time. You have an employee. If you pay him on the day that the salary is due, you fulfill a mitzvah daraisa, v'yom otiten schara. Am I mechuyev to go out of my way to find employee, to hire someone? Just so I can have a mitzvah? No. Let's say, I don't want to hire, I work myself, I don't need any employees. They say, it's a bitzel ha-mitzvah, it's wrong of you. You have mitzvah otiten schara, why are you being involved? Like, no! That's what we call, what the rabbi refers to as a mitzvah harashus. It's a contingent mitzvah. Rama writes, talks about this in the last chapter of Hilchos Brachos. And mitzvah sarashos, not optional, but contingent. If I'm wearing a beggar of arba kamfas, then I have a mitzvah tzitzis. If I'm not wearing the beggar of arba kamfas, I have no chiyuv. If I have employees, so then I have a mitzvah to pay him on time. But I'm not mechuyev to have employees. Rama writes, according to Yerushalmi, if you live in a house, you're mechuyev to have mezuzah. Let's say I want to live in a tent. Fellow lives in a tent all his life. Fellow lives in a trailer his entire life. So he's not mechuyev in mezuzah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Says the Minchas Chinuch something remarkable, shocking. Take a look at the bottom line. He says, how about Mila? He says, look, if Hatavis Dan Bris is only Rabbanan, so that means, and think about what we've been talking about from the beginning, that the sort of the unique physical, the unique sort of practical, logistical aspect of Mila, it's a sort of activity you can only do once, or no times. A person has an arla, you remove it, that's it. And if a fellow does not have an arla, born without an arla, or is already removed in a non-mitzvah fashion, so there is no arla. So he says, the mitzvah, this is says, Minchas Chinuch is suggesting, maybe Mila is also a mitzvah harashus. If I have an arla, the mitzvah to remove it, and remove in the following way, with a Jewish mohel, biyom hashmini, bayom, and so on and so forth. But he says something wild. Torasenu, at the very bottom of page at base. Torasenu hegbila zman la mitzvah zu shmonon yom. The Torah said, right, the mitzvah mila on day 8. Torah says in this week's parsha, parsha lechacha. Torah says in parsha shmini. What does that mean? If I do a bris mila before the day 8, so the pischechuva calls the shakas aryeh. Am I yotzei anything before day 8 or not? Let's assume that mila before day 8 is zero. No, you haven't fulfilled anything. But still, he says, nearly that Torah lo chivato b'mitzvah zurak l'shmon yom. What that means is that the Torah said the mitzvah starts on day 8. Kodem lazeh eino chayiv b'mitzvah zuklal. There is no chiyuv mila before day 8, and I cannot be mekayim before day 8. He says, just like the mitzvah tashbisu, the mitzvah to destroy chametz is the same thing. There's no chiyuv and there's no kiyum. If I destroy, according to the vast majority we've shown him, if I destroy the chametz 3 days before Pesach, 8 days before Pesach, okay. But at the same time, I'm not mechuyev, I haven't done something wrong if I destroyed ate up all the chametz in advance. I missed out the opportunity to do a mitzvah. But it's not a bitul ha-mitzvah in the sense that not wearing tefillin is a violation, a forbidden violation of the mitzvah of tefillin. You were mechuyev to wear tefillin, you didn't. Here, he suggests something radical, that Mila is, the Chiyuv begins on day 8. So if you no longer have an Arla, okay, so Mitzvah Sarashos, it doesn't apply under these circumstances. If you're not a Kohen, you can't do it. Is there something wrong with that? No, the Mitzvah doesn't apply. So he suggests, radical, to do it. He says there's no Isser in doing the Mila early. It's a crying shame because you could have had a Mitzvah that you're not going to have. It's a violation of Chiyuv of Mitzvah. But he says, and we'll have to end with this because Marv is about to begin, glad to hang around afterwards for questions. He says that to do the Mila early is the same as choosing to not wear a beged arba kamfas. You're choosing to opt out of the chiyuv, but it's not a violation. Again, this flows from those threads we discussed earlier. Rabbi said, thank you so much for joining. Tonight was an experiment, but let's be in touch in the next couple of days about putting together a halacha series going forward.